Chapter 10. The Creature Returns. It was about 9 months later that I was sitting in my laboratory one evening, looking up at the full moon high in the sky. I was thinking about the monster. It had been about 3 years earlier that I had started to make the first creature in my laboratory in Ingolstadt. I had not known what he would be like, and I did not know what this female creature would be like either. My head was now full of questions. What would I do if the female creature was more dangerous than the first monster? He had promised to go far away and keep away from people, but his new female friend had not. If she wanted to kill people, it would be very difficult to stop her. What would the monster do if the new female hated him? What would happen if they had children together and created more dangerous monsters? I suddenly saw the seriousness of what I was doing, and I felt sick. Could I refuse to do it? If I decided wrongly, perhaps many more bad things would happen. At that moment, I looked up and saw, through the window, the monster standing outside in the light of the moon. He seemed to have a horrible smile on his face as he looked in and saw me sitting behind the table in my laboratory. On the table, he could see the female creature that I was working on. Yes, this monster really had followed me across Europe. He had hidden in forests and caves and had watched me carefully. And here he was, and he knew that his female friend was almost ready for him. But oh, what had I done? I suddenly felt that I had made a terrible mistake, and I was filled with regret. I stood up, and, shaking with rage, I immediately started to damage the female creature. I pulled pieces from her, I hit her, and I threw her to the floor. When he saw what I was doing, the monster screamed and then ran away. I left the room and locked it, and then I made a promise to myself. I would never make another creature again. Then I went to my bedroom, but I could not sleep. Several hours later, I heard the front door of my cottage moving. I was terrified, but there was nothing I could do. Moments later, the bedroom door opened, and the monster walked slowly into my room. He whispered in a slow, angry voice, "I have followed you across Europe. I have waited patiently for months, but now you have damaged what you created. What are you trying to do? Have you broken your promise to me?" "Yes," I replied. "I have broken my promise. I will never again make another creature. I cannot. Now go away." He was full of anger and hate as he looked at me. "So every man can have a wife, but not me. Must I be alone forever? That's not fair. You will pay for this. I will make you sorry." "I will not change my mind," I told him. "Go, leave me alone." "I will go," he said quietly. "But remember this, I will be with you on your wedding night." "You monster!" I shouted at him. "Before you say you are going to kill me, be sure you are safe yourself first." I jumped towards him, but he turned and ran out of the cottage. I hurried outside and saw him push a small boat out into the ocean and climb into it. I remembered his last words to me. Would he kill me on my wedding day? Poor sweet Elizabeth! I could not let her see me die in front of her. So I thought of a plan. The next morning, when the sun began to rise in the sky, I made myself go into the laboratory to collect the body parts together and put them in a large basket. I carefully cleaned all the scientific objects that I had used for my experiments, and I packed them into cases. Then, in the evening, with some difficulty, I took the basket outside to the beach, where I put some heavy stones inside it too. I waited until very late at night, and then I put the heavy basket into a little sailing boat. I sailed it about 4 miles out to sea, and as I did so, I became more and more nervous. Then I lowered the sail and pushed the large basket and what was inside it into the ocean. It quickly disappeared down into the dark water. I felt pleased when I had done it, and I lay back on the floor of the boat. I was very tired, and in just a few minutes I fell deeply asleep. I do not know how long I lay sleeping there, but when I woke up, the sun was high in the sky. I was out on the Atlantic Ocean, and I could not see land anywhere. I looked around me and saw that it was windy now, and the water was no longer calm. Many hours passed, and I felt very sick as the boat moved up and down and from side to side. Would I survive? Or would I die from hunger and thirst alone in that small boat? Then, just as it was beginning to get dark, I saw land. I was so happy. The land looked rocky and different to where I had come from. But as I sailed nearer, I saw that there was a small town. When I began to pull the boat out of the water and up onto the shore, some men appeared and started walking towards me. I thought they were going to help me, but instead they stopped and stood in a group and whispered to one another. I called to them, "My good friends, please can you tell me where I am?"
"You'll know soon enough," one of the men replied.
"Why do you answer so rudely? I thought the English are well known for being polite and welcoming strangers."
"Well, you aren't in England now," the man said. "You are in Ireland, and we Irish don't like murderers."
"Murderers?" I repeated, shocked by what he had said.
"Yes, come with me. We want to hear your story about the death of a man who was found murdered here last night."
I could not believe what was happening. I did not know anything about this dead man. I had been alone on the boat since last night. But I had no choice. I had to go with this crowd and answer their questions. "I have to stop for a moment now, because I must feel strong to remember and describe the truly awful things that happened next."